tadashma saram hridayam batedam yad grihamanir harinamadhyayi navikriye tat yadavikaro netri jalam gathar ruhesha harshaha. Certainly that heart is steel framed which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes, and hairs stand on end. In the last verse of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the last paragraph of the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are things that one must give up in order to make advancement in devotional service, and one of them is weakness of heart. And weakness of heart means the tendency to become attracted to matter, and then an increasing penchant for staying attached to matter. And he explains that the first six verses of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita explain how to become free from weakness of heart. And of course, the 15th chapter begins by describing the nature of the material world as a banyan tree. Urdhva mula madha shakam ashvatam prahur avyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastam veda saveda vit. It has its, a banyan tree that has its branches downward and its roots above, whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. And it's a reflected form, just as a tree on the water shows a reflection of the real tree. And similarly, this material world is a reflected image of the spiritual world by 180 degrees. The spiritual world is on top, material world on bottom, and you see the reflected form. All the variety that's in the spiritual world is here, but here we have only reflected form, just like a mirage in the desert. Animals sometimes see the mirage and they mistake it for water, and they run and run until they die of thirst. So a materialistic person is described to be like this animal who's going for the water. And then there are gyanis who recognize that it's actually a mirage, it's not real, and they stop running. But they don't get the water. They only stop running because they realize that it's not real. Then one has to actually get the real water. So Krishna goes on, Narupam asyeha tato palabhyate nanto nacharir nachasam pratishta ashvatam enam suvaruda mulam asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. That we're in this tree, we're born into the world, and we're not really sure where we came from or where we're going, right? Or is it just me? And as soon as we're born, somebody comes and slaps a name tag on us and says, by the way, your name is Willie. And there it is, your name's Willie. And you have to live with that, and a lot of other things too. But we have no idea, and that who we really are. We don't even see who we are. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Hiranyakashipu was appeasing his relatives after the killing of Hiranyaksha by the Lord Varaha, he told many things to the relatives. One of them was a story about a king named Suyagya, who was a valiant king who came onto the battlefield and was vanquished during a mighty battle. And afterwards, all his queens and wives came and were mourning his death, wailing, holding on to his body. He had fallen on the battlefield, his hair filled with the dust from the battlefield. He had bitten his lip out of a sense of valor when falling to the ground. His limbs were broken. But despite that, he was very beautiful. However, he was gone. But his wives held on to his body, and they cried and wailed so much that into the night air, everyone could hear their wailing, including Yamaraj. And educated people who know the science of the soul, as Krishna describes in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, ukramantam stitam vapi bunjanam vagunanvitam, that the soul is only stepping out of the body, moving to the next body, Shariram yadavapnoti yachchap yutkanamatishvara rihit vaitani samyati vayur ghanam ivashayat. Like the wind blows across, it picks up the scent, it moves to the next place. But the wives in ignorance didn't see this. So Yamaraj came because it was past the time when the body should have been taken and burned and given the chance for the soul to move on. He appeared in that place on the battlefield as a little boy. And amidst the crying women, he said, "Why are you crying?" They said, "Our husband is gone." He said, "He's not gone, he's right there." They said, "No, little boy, you don't understand. Our husband, the king, he's gone. He's dead." Little boy said, "No, you don't understand. He's right there. It's the same eyes. It's the same legs. It's the same feet. It's the same nose. Same everything's there. How can you say he's gone?" They said, "Who are you, little boy?" And he revealed that he was Yamaraj, who had come to instruct them in spiritual knowledge and to tell them they had never seen the king. So coming into this banyan tree, narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate nanto nachadir nachasambratishta, I can't see the form of it. I can't see the end or the beginning. But, Krishna says, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Asanga shastrena, the weapon of asanga. Dridhena, with great determination, chitva, must cut it down. Many try to cut down this tree of material existence. We hear about Vishwamrita Muni meditating for 10,000 years. And in his meditation after 10,000 years, he merely heard the footbells of Menaka. He didn't even see her. He just heard that footbell sound, and he gave up his austerities and he went away and became attached to material life. Yet pada pankacha palasha vilasya bhakta. The devotees, however, yet pada pankacha palasha vilasya bhakta. Karmashrayam gratitam utkartayanti santa. Tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo pirudha. Shrotoganas tam abaran bhajavasudevam. The devotees can overcome the waves, strong waves of material existence. How strong are they? Take a look at Japan. That's how strong the waves of material existence are. If you look at some of the film of the tsunami that came into Japan, it just sweeps away everything. You think you're fine. That's the problem with the material world. Everyone thinks they're fine. And you can find that out by just going around and asking people, "How are you?" And they say, "I'm fine. Have a look at this Bhagavad Gita." "No thanks, I'm all set." That's what people say in America. I don't know about in England, but in America. "Here, take a look at Bhagavad Gita. I'm all set." You're not all set. There's a tsunami coming, and it'll sweep away everything. That's the problem. We're not all set. Nobody's all set here in the material world. And the waves of material desire come, and they sweep away the mind even of an intelligent person who thinks that they're set in this world. I've seen it myself with relatives who were very sure about their philosophy in life and seemed to be set up. And then when the waves of death came, they were really looking for shelter, and they didn't have any. I saw it for myself. I saw it with my mother. She was an intellectual, a scholar, and she was very stiff upper lip. But before she left the world, I saw when death was approaching, she had lost her husband after being married for 70 years. And then the waves of material existence come, they sweep away everything. And I saw how she wanted shelter. She needed it. And anyone who looks around and sees this world, Krishna says that we should observe how this world is unstable, and we should find a place to really take shelter. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. And with determination, cut down this deeply rooted tree of material existence and overcome the weakness of heart that makes me attracted to this world over and over again. It makes me want to take shelter in this unstable place. It's actually a ridiculous proposition, but I do it over and over again. So how is that done? It's indicated in this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Nirmana moha jitta sangatosha adhyatma nitya vritti kama dvanverva mukta sukha dukkha samjer gachantya muda paramavyayam tat. That nirmana, first thing one must give up is pride. I have to become prideless. That I don't have anything. I don't have any shelter. I don't have any standing. There's nothing that I have. So therefore, I must take shelter of Krishna. Nirmana moha. And moha, I have to give up illusion and false association. Krishna consciousness, excuse me, is the science of association. I'm a tatastha shakti, which means that whoever I associate with, wherever I associate, that's what I become. And taking the clue in the first six chapters of what this material world is, it's a reflection of the spiritual world, and therefore, to have success in overcoming weakness of heart, I cannot simply not engage in the illusion, but I must transfer my heart from this world, where it's attached, to something that is temporary and always frustrating, to the spiritual world, where everything's always better than it seems. In fact, one of Krishna's names given by Rupa Goswami in his Stavamala is Vancha Atita. Vancha means desire, and Atita means above. And it means that one of Krishna's names is that he fulfills your desires far beyond what you could ever expect. Far beyond what you can desire, he has a much better idea for you. That's much better than the material world, which is the opposite, which is whatever you think you're going to get, forget about it. Because it's going to turn around on you, and you're going to end up with nothing or worse than nothing. Take your choice. Anyat evahur sambhavad, anyat ahura sambhavat, iti shushumadhiranam, yenas tadvich chakshire. The Shrishta Upanishad says, one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and another result is obtained by worshipping that which is not supreme. All this was heard from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explained it. So hearing from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explained what the situation is, we must transfer our heart, our desires, from this world to the spiritual world. It's fully satisfying because that's where our heart actually is. That's where the sense gratification actually is. And Rupa Goswami talks about this in one of his poems. He writes about how a lover is waiting for a love letter in the mail. What anticipation is that? He can't concentrate on work. He can't concentrate on anything. There's a love letter coming in the mail. What day will it come? Nobody knows, but he's checking every single day, and he's looking, and when it's not there, the rest of the day is null and void. And when that letter finally arrives, his hands are trembling when he takes that letter and he opens it, and when he reads the words of his beloved written by hand, his voice quivers. Rupa Goswami says, in the same way, let me read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let my hands tremble when I hold the book. And when I read it aloud, may my voice quiver out of affection for this literature, which is a literature of love, of poetry from the spiritual world. Rupa Goswami says, yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata mano biramate tadvan mano me ramatan twayi. Just as the minds of young men are attracted to young women, and young women are attracted to young men without any education, without any prompting. In fact, if you try to hold them back and say, you know, I don't think this is a very good idea. It's not a very healthy relationship. Does that work? I'm asking seriously. It doesn't. He said, in the same way, let my mind be attracted to you, Krishna. So there's a transference from the temporary matter to the reality of the spiritual world that is altogether possible by the association with spiritual sound. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure for the weakness of heart. By hearing in association of devotees, the desire to enjoy matter dries up. And the positive taste for a relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becomes naturally awakened. And this is the very purpose of life, to gradually develop these stages of love for Krishna. And now I'll stop and take reflections or questions. Reflection means any one thing that you heard so far from the purport or our discussion that's stuck in your mind, that you're taking out of your in your pocket, or a question.